You are listening to Perpetual Sin, brought to you by Satan.
Listening to Perpetual Sin Podcast. We are two Satanists who grab a topic in the world and discuss it from our sinful and satanic perspective. I am one of the co-hosts. My name is Jason, and I am a Satanist.
I am Joshua, Black Masses and Brown Hesses, Malmerpookin. What's up, champion?
All right, Josh, what's our topic of discussion for today?
Well, I thought it was going to be SatanCon.
Yeah,
well, Divine Intervention came in and said, hey, guess who's not showing up for SatanCon? Divine Intervention?
We are actually indeed discussing Divine Intervention, but we're also going to talk about where was God. You know, Divine Intervention is usually understood as, when did God intervene and how did he intervene, for good or ill, right? But I thought the interesting way to break this off would be, where was God in various things, during various forms of evil or mishap or violence that have occurred in the world? Where was God? For the idea that God is supposedly omnipotent, omnibenevolent, omnipresent, and so on, where the fuck was God in certain things? What do you think, Josh?
I think if there was a God, I'm kind of glad he intervened with you and I not going to Boston, because, I mean, I've been on dates with some, but I had a Latina lover last night for the first time since November.
And hell yeah, man.
I feel more alive than I have since November. So my penis is very happy right now.
Awesome. Yeah.
So that is the divinity of my pee-pee right now.
Congratulations. I don't know if that's divine intervention or Satan intervening, but either way,
I believe in myself being high. I like Latinas.
Hey, you know, well, as we were discussing prior to the recording, I went and did what I needed to do with a certain friend with benefits of mine.
Yes.
So, yeah, in a way, either by divine or infernal intervention, we are not as SatanCon as we had originally hoped, but we're making the most of it.
Fuck yeah, we are. We're going to raise some hell. And I'm trying to look at an asshole that makes six figures tonight. Or at least her husband does. I don't fucking give a fuck about him.
Yeah, you are alluding to our plans after tracking this episode. Again, fate shuts one door, it opens another. Among the other things we've been accomplishing this weekend, rather than SatanCon, we're going to go tear it up in a certain affluent suburb.
I want open legs and open butt cheeks, because I'm going to try and put my tongue between all them.
Yeah. So on the subject of where was God, right? And so there is a term for this. There's a philosophical term. It's theodicy. It is basically the philosophical category of Christian thinking, essentially Christian apologist thinking, trying to reconcile the omnibenevolence, omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience of God with the so-called problem of evil in the world. If God is all good, that's omnibenevolence, and capable of anything at all, that's omnipotence, is everywhere and at all times and aware of everything, that's omnipresence, and is aware of everything, right? And can see the past, present, and future of everything, that's omniscience. If God is all of these things, as he is commonly understood by Christians, why is there evil in the world? All of that is wrapped up in the term and the practice and the philosophical school of theodicy.
So I'm going to put a scenario out there, right? Dude, his wife, loving family, 100% they, you know, met through church when they were 18, got married, whatever, have a beautiful fucking child. That child has cancer at the age of 5. Horrible fucking thought process. And I'm about to get into some dark shit on this.
Okay, yeah.
In that process, let's say the husband hypothetically loses faith in God, divorces his wife, and says, I'm so angry at God, the church, whatever, goes out and does some absolutely pure evil shit.
Yeah.
You know, burns down a church, kills a bunch of people. So at that point,
what good is that?
Yeah. Who do you blame? Do you blame God or do you blame the devil? Do you blame God for the evil that he created by not being there for this child being saved or cured, for dying of cancer, for not helping that in their marriage? Or do you blame the quote-unquote devil because the devil made him do it? That's hypothetical. No, you know, and that's one of those things. Get at us on the fucking Facebook. Get at us on the thing. Let's talk about this at a later date.
If you disagree with us or if you have thoughts on anything we discuss, you're always welcome to hit us on Facebook until we get our website going. That's Perpetual Sin Podcast on Facebook. Yeah. Again, our opening bit here is, where is God? Where was God in all this? There's all this talk about, you know, again, miracles and things we'll get into in the second spot, where God is supposedly at work in changing or influencing the events of mankind or the fate of the world or the events of society and civilization. But where the fuck was he when, yes, you get the headline level stuff like World War II and school shootings and COVID and stuff, but then you get to the stuff that doesn't make headlines, like the account you just sort of outlined, right? Like some awful shit happened to some people, some shit happens style stuff happened. And that drove someone to go do a thing that was evil. And it's like, right. What good? What fucking good could the deepest, most mind-fucked Christian apologist make of a scenario where something just goes from bad to worse to evil?
Right.
How is this? And don't sweep it under the carpet of fucking Satan, because again, we're all talking about mythological fucking creatures here.
You know, and there's also the point where if there is a mass shooting, that there was another incident. There was someone who just started shooting in a mall. And there was someone who had a CCL license and took someone out.
Good on him.
And took the shooter out.
Good. If you ask me, good.
Is that God intervening with that gun to kill another human being?
No, it's a motherfucker who went out of his way to get a CCL. He or she got a CCL and decided to defend the fucking public.
But is that the devil? Because, oh, he's got a gun. He killed someone in the process. Yeah, well, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Yes. I mean, I like this twist of the conversation because, to me, it starts to indicate that there isn't any God or any Satan. It's what can we as human beings do to deal with evil or suffering in the world when it happens? Yeah.
Should we have a break so I can pick out who's a cunt right now?
Yeah, I think that's about all we can do for this segment, folks. We're going to do a break. We're going to attend to certain vices, and we'll come back with some shout-outs and some goodness. And
taking your mother to Arby's while we're on a break. Yep. Not you, Jason. Somebody's.
It's all good. All right.
Ave Domine Inferni.
Gigawatt Coffee. Josh and I are actually both drinking some of their cold fusion at the moment.
Incredible. And I am not sleeping tonight, and I'm hopefully not sleeping tonight in the most fun ways.
Yeah. Well, we'll go so far as to say that this episode of Perpetual Sin is brought to you by Gigawatt Coffee. So go out and get yourself some Gigawatt Coffee, because we enjoy it, and so should you.
My post-show debauchery shall be sponsored by Gigawatt Coffee. And to go Doc Brown style, I'm running at 1.21 gigawatts.
There we go. Let's get into this. Before we get into the main subject of divine intervention here in Perpetual Sin, let's just sort of get a quick matter of course out of the way. We are proud to announce that Perpetual Sin Podcast is sponsoring an upcoming Doom Metal Festival called Illinois Doomed and Stoned. It's going to be at Metal Monkey Brewing in Romeoville, Illinois on September 1st and 2nd. Again, that is Illinois Doomed and Stoned. There's already some kick-ass sponsors.
Shout out to my boy Andre, and who I play with in Maiden 81. His band is playing Pale Horseman.
Fuck yeah.
Because they're at Reggie's tonight.
No and, fucking shit.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, champion.
Yeah, so Perpetual Sin Podcast is sponsoring the show. I don't know if it's ever come up, but Josh and I will actually also both be there supporting mtrsradio.com. Because I'm one of the radio personalities and DJs there on that station, and mtrsradio.com is sponsoring the whole shebang of Illinois Doomed and Stoned as the Green Room sponsor. So yes. We will be behind the scenes.
It may be green, but I'm not partaking in the devil's lettuce.
Yeah. So again, that's Illinois Doomed and Stoned. That's going to be September 1st and 2nd coming up this year at Metal Monkey Brewing in Romeoville, Illinois. And Josh, what's more, we are doing a ticket giveaway.
Yes.
So please, sir, elaborate.
So, Jason, over the much time you've known me, one of my favorite memes of all time is the slow heavy metal music playing meme.
Fuck yeah.
Up until, say, August 15th is a fair amount of time.
Mid-August, yeah.
We are going to be offering a contest that is whoever can bring up the best slow heavy metal music playing meme is going to win two tickets to Doomed and Stoned at Metal Monkey Brewing.
Yep, September 1st and 2nd.
So find an image, take an image from your phone and put the beautiful yellow, quote unquote,
slow heavy metal music playing.
Find an image that's so ridiculous on the internet and be like, you know what? This is hilarious. I've done it. I've made my own personal ones.
Yeah.
And I've sent it to friends. And
it can be legit. It can be ridiculous. Again, the judges of this will be two sinful motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Probably in an altered state of consciousness due to alcohol, caffeine, or both.
Yeah.
So and, really, whatever your mind can come up with to slap slow heavy metal music playing and as a meme on whatever fucking image you want, send it to us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/perpetualsinpodcast.
Yeah. Even to go on my Instagram, Chicago Metal Demon 666.
That too. Yeah.
Send it to me directly. I have no issues with that. Maybe even the top three, we should have fans or people vote. And if we don't have enough votes, we'll just pick it our goddamn selves.
Yeah. I'm game for that. So but yeah, what's at stake? What do you get for all this nonsense? You get two tickets to Illinois Doomed in Stone.
And you probably get to hang out with us and have a fucking beer at Doomed in Stone.
Oh, yeah, and of course you have the privilege of being in our presence. Fuck yeah. All right. Again, the main subject of today's episode here on Perpetual Sin is divine intervention. We spent the first part of it sort of as the opposite. Where was God in all of the bullshit of the world? But here we're going to talk about actual divine intervention itself. Let's tackle it like this. Josh, when you think of divine intervention, what are some things that come to your mind?
Divine intervention is, I think, cinematically, is the moment in Pulp Fiction where the dude pops out of nowhere and unleashes hell and misses Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson. Dude fires off six rounds of a fucking hand, fucking judge, and it's like, yeah. Misses both of them, and it's like, is this a miracle? Is this divine intervention? Is this this? It's like, divine intervention is, I didn't get hit by that car. Subsequently, like, I called into work and I went to the gas station and I won $100 on a scratch and win ticket.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's serendipity to a certain degree. Where it's just
yeah,
like,
I don't think we need to bring in the involvement of a Sky Father to explain those little twists.
If we could bring in serendipity, though, she's still a great fucking Dogma. What's up, champion?
Selma You're back Hayek. On Selma Hayek.
I'm always on Selma Hayek.
You get Selma Hayek, I get Amber Heard.
I'm not sure why. Who wins or loses. I think you lose, Jason. I'm sorry. You saw what that poor woman did to Johnny Depp.
She doesn't have to open her mouth to talk.
Yes, she does.
And she doesn't have to be a... Anyway, I'll just leave that right there. Anyway, yeah. Moving on.
So I ran into a dear friend of ours last night. Our friend Andy from Blue Moon Assault hit me up like, hey, I'm down the street. My kid's playing hockey. You want
to
link up?
Cheers to Andrew and Blue Moon Assault.
Yeah, it was great to see him and his wife. A divine intervention moment they actually had mentioned to me was there was an incident at Da Bar, which you and I had been there for Blue Moon Assault. A woman was struck and killed right outside the building.
Who?
They had mentioned that they were going to go to that show tonight, and Andy and his wife Katie, they were like, you know, let's go. Andy was like, let's go. Katie's like, let's not. Where was God? I saw the girl, beautiful girl, 18 years old, just probably going out because I think it was a Metallica and a Maiden tribute that night. Is it divine intervention that two people I value were not at that show?
There are certain fucking idiot Christians that would look at that, even if they didn't know anything else about it, and go, oh yeah, God struck that person down because they lived a sinful life.
They were at a metal show at a tiny, at a really nice bar in West Dallas.
Yeah. People are so swift to look at that kind of shit,
you know,
and immediately ascribe God, Satan, evil, good, when it's just an awful fucking tragic event.
To go into the Belvedere incident.
So you're talking about the roof collapse of the Apollo in Belvedere.
If God wanted to punish those that were unholy, he would have had it happen when a band was on stage, not during a cigarette break.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
For God, who's supposedly omnipotent, do you think you could have picked a better time?
If
as some Christians claim, you were there to strike down the evil Satanist metalheads, why did you pick the worst?
You
time
only
to ever
killed one, and you injured 40, and everybody seems like they're walking away.
But it's all part of God's plan, you see.
And that was the test of faith of those. And you know, I'm just showing you a little bit of my wrath.
Yeah.
Wrath. God himself is guilty of one of the seven deadly sins.
Okay, so actually, let's grab that and run with it. There's the subject of divine retribution, which is a subcategory of divine intervention. When we say divine intervention, at the broadest way of looking at it, is anytime God intervenes in the worldly affairs of man, right?
Like in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, like in Pulp Fiction.
Allegedly.
But then there's the accepted and vaunted biblical cases of Sodom and Gomorrah, Tower of Babel, the Great Flood, and Noah's Ark to...
Oh, you mean all the incest that fucking came afterwards?
No, yeah, and then there's the 10 plagues of Egypt. All of these things are... attested in the Bible and in other scripture where God threw a hissy fit and created some mass plague or mass world-ender event or mass-changing event.
I mean, plague. Where was God during COVID-19?
No, exactly. That was one of the things we brought up in the first half. Where was God? On the matter of COVID-19, I've actually seen some weirdo, wacko Christians saying that COVID-19 was an act of God, and that it was sent here to purge the unworthy and test the worthy. There are people, there are fucking Baptist, evangelical, Christian nationalist asshats. Again, I'm not trying to shit on all Christians, but there's some fucked up ones out there, too many, that looked at COVID-19 as a matter of divine intervention in the category of divine retribution.
And that's fucked. And
it is beyond fucked.
And if they so believe that, did you walk around out in public without a mask on to prove your love for God and that you believe that?
Yeah, exactly. But then there's the other sort of category. The other thing that comes up in divine intervention is acts of God. Now, this comes up in insurance. You know, it's a supposed act of God when there's like a major flood or a heat wave or some, quote, natural disaster. They call that an act of God. Think about that for a second. The insurance companies look at major natural disasters, keyword, disaster, as an act of God. Isn't that kind of funny?
It's ironic.
Yeah, your house was washed away by a giant flood or a fucking monsoon or the levees broke and your shit's now 10 feet underwater. That's an act of God.
You know,
oh, thanks God, you flooded my fucking house off the map.
You know, there was a moment, I think it was 23, 24, where I lost, I would say, 85% of everything I own. If that's an act of God, I've ever read to still be mad. I had a mint copy of an OG Press of Heaven and Hell. That was like,
that vicariously hurts.
I know. And it was like, I lost a lot of my clothes and shit. I have 7 pairs of jeans. I have 10 shirts. I have 7 pairs of underwear. I have 7 pairs of socks. I'm like,
you had 7 pairs of things. Come on, man. You had the holy number on your side. What the fuck? Yeah. So where the fuck was God?
I mean, unless that was God saying like, hey, I'm intervening because you don't need all this blasphemous shit, motherfucker.
Yeah.
If this is an act of God, I don't really like this motherfucker very
exactly.
much.
That's going to be a recurring theme in our discussion here. All right, let's talk about this one because it's kind of the deep and meaty one. Miracles. A common way of explaining it is that it's any time that there is a supposed turn of events that cannot easily be explained by the normally understood laws of nature. Now, miracles in a colloquial sense is, you know, any time it's basically like a bizarre stroke of unusual good luck. But of course, the Christian reckoning of miracles is that it is some kind of divine intervention where God has come in and, you know, healed the sick. Jesus, and again, going back to our crucifixion episode, Jesus was purported to go around and, you know, heal the ill and see into the future, and all of these things were miracles, purportedly. We had a prior episode as well on the idea of faith healing, where in the modern day, there are these televangelist-type wacko ministers out there purporting to heal the sick or cast out demons from these people, and they are billed as, quote, miracles, when to me, it's all just a bunch of either paid actors or groupthink. Again, we had a whole episode on faith healing.
One of my favorite miracle references in a movie is from Blade Runner 2049.
Really?
Dave Bautista's Sapper Morton. You know why you don't believe? It's because you've never seen a miracle.
That line of dialogue was obliquely referencing that two replicants had essentially reproduced in a way that they were not designed to.
Right.
So that's
a miracle.
It's a miracle because, again, that fits the broad category, that is a unexpected turn of events that defies the natural understood order of the laws of how things work.
Right. And someone winning $1 million in the lottery, is that a miracle or is that blind luck?
That's just the roll of the dice, if you ask me.
You know, two replicants procreating a child.
This rhymes with evolution theory. Random genetic mutation could explain, again, in the fiction of Blade Runner, maybe their carefully manicured design of two replicant human-based things somewhere in their chaos took over and flipped a gene or two, and suddenly these two can fucking have a kid.
But if it's beautiful, it's a miracle. If it's not, it's a freak of nature.
You can take the exact same circumstance and have two different people from two different cultures looking at it. An unusual or unexpected turn of events. One person would see it as a miracle. The other person would see it as a freak of nature. It's culture bound. Psychologists call it culture bound.
You know,
so the difference between a miracle and a freak of nature is just your perspective, your indoctrination in a certain way of looking at things.
You have a husband who is infertile and all of a sudden the wife gets pregnant. Is that a miracle or is that the work of the loving, caring neighbor that cares a lot? Cares a lot. Like that's a miracle that they had a child, but like, oh, so. No. Wow, like that is...
You're giving a good example of how people will put the term miracle on a turn of events that they would just really rather not look into the deeper causality of.
Right.
Oh, it must be a miracle. You know, you look at the history of so-called miracles, this gets into a deep subject which could almost be its own episode, but...
Faith healing?
Well, no, yeah, we
we've already touched on that.
No, but I mean, like, if you look at the history of particularly the Roman Catholic Church when it was in its sort of middling years while it was trying to compete with other religions, I know there was a phase of history where the churches were sort of in a who can out-miracle themselves versus other pagan churches or religions that were like, well, we can do this. Well, the Christians were like, well, ha, we can have this miracle. It was basically it's floor show. It was what we understand is like the realistic modern term of magic, like sleight of hand, puffs of smoke, things right. like this. It was essentially the equivalent of magic in that modern day performative sense that wasn't as well understood for what it is being used by early Christian sects to sort of purport they're the ones who have God on their side because we can perform these fantastic feats, quote, miracles. We can make things float. We can make things disappear. We can heal the sick. All of these things that were in some way, shape, or form just no different than magic as we have it in a performative sense today. It's sleight of hand. It's tricks. It's things that the common person would take to be magic because they don't understand that it's a performance.
Hypothetically, if you take a Christian Scientist that believes...
They're the ones who want to pray the sick away?
Pray the sick away, but you have someone that's so concerned for that loved one's well-being that they're slipping them medicine and chemo or whatever for cancer or whatever, or AIDS or whatever, some sort of suppressive, and that's unbeknownst to the other parts of the community. That's the human hand becoming the hand of God.
No, exactly. That's no different. You know, you've heard those stories of early people supposedly capable of telekinesis, and it's all magnets under the table.
Right.
Yeah, it's humans wanting to give credence or truth to a belief or a theory, in this case miracles, but they're the ones creating the miracle.
Right.
So that they can fool the people who want to believe that there are such things in the world.
Right.
So much for intervention and miracles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've personally had premonitions of things. Would that be a miracle?
Or is that just intuition?
Right. It's like...
Or something that... Even if you were to be the most charitable and say that it can't easily be explained, that's not this... You don't jump that gap and go, oh, God, miracle.
Right, it's just kind of like...
It just means something we don't understand about human psyche.
Right. Before September 11th, I actually had a premonition of it. Mm-hmm. It was just two loud bangs that woke me up at 3:33 in the morning of all times. Mm-hmm. The witching hour.
Exactly.
Is that God intervening with my sleep process to be like, hey, you need to go explain these two bangs you heard in the middle of the night...
Depending on which fuck-headed Christian you ask, yes.
Right, or is it just, that happened, I can't explain this for another 3 or 4 months?
I hear you, man. Look, I've had dreams before. I literally had a dream of my dad dying the day that he died.
Yeah, I remember we talked about this before.
Yeah. What do I make of that? I don't know.
Right.
To me, it's intellectually lazy to take it any further than that. Was that a miracle? Was that an intervention? I don't know. To me, it is better to sit on the I don't know.
Right.
So that you remain open-minded to further explanations that right. might come along, because, spoiler alert, look at the tale of human history. Most things wind up being explained. Everything is ultimately subject to analysis and explanation over time.
And
even if it isn't, it's better to leave it in the place of unknown than to go, oh my God, God intervened, or that was a miracle, or a demon, or an angel, or a prophecy, or a, you know, whatever.
Hey, you know, 6 months from now, like, horrible thing is going to happen, and I saw this in a dream. That's cool. You want to explain that to these dudes in the white coats, and we're going to lock you up in this very tight jacket.
Yeah,
and
you're talking about, yeah. All right, so I think I've got 2 more angles to attack on divine intervention. Josh, what do you think? So there's the supposed, this is similar to what we just talked about, right, dreams. Revelations, when supposedly people have visions, or prophetic dreams,
right.
or see signs and patterns in the world.
And I do.
Christian, oh yeah, don't we all, right? Well, we'll get into that in a second. But Christian-minded folks will see patterns in the world and go, oh, it's a revelation from God. The charlatans and televangelists will just sell revelations for $5.99 per minute.
Yeah.
They're just making shit up. Josh, you know this about me. I'm a tarot card reader.
Right.
I'm in the business of handing out patterns of events to people
right.
on a day-to-day fucking basis. Sometimes 30 or 40 or more in a fucking day. If you ask
me... You've talked to me about my own personal... person works on these patterns. I work on these patterns.
Yeah. No, but I mean, the broader point is, I'm not saying that there isn't anything to it. What I am saying is that it is human nature to find patterns in things.
Right.
Now, does that explain the outright prophetic dream I had of my dad's death on the evening of his death? Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
Because I knew he was sick, and it was in the back of my mind, And who's to say that my subconscious mind didn't pop that dream into my head because I had anxiety of my dad's illness.
Right.
And we knew he was on death's door eventually. This is Occam's razor. Is it easier to expect that the still not fully understood mechanisms of human subconscious could pop that kind of a dream into my head?
Right.
I don't think that's a far stretch to your dream. The idea of like the three loud bangs that wake you up at the witching hour.
Right.
In the lead up to what became September 11th. If you ask me, I'm not trying to disrespect you, Josh, that is the human mind trying to find a pattern
right.
in events where there maybe isn't one, but it makes us feel better. Well, like it's a human psychology right. thing. If we don't understand something, if we see things that seem to correlate or rhyme in reality, we want to connect them.
We'll
find ways to connect them.
To look into the aspects of dreams, like I've had, when I was going through my divorce, I had a lot of dreams of my ex-wife drowning. Water in dreams, allegedly.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, dream interpretation, the pattern.
Dream interpretation. Yeah. It's basically the body of water, which said person is in, is the equation of their problems. She's actually said, I've had drowning dreams after we parted ways. I'm like, irony!
Yeah, but is that God intervening? No. This is just human psychology, edges of which we don't fully understand yet. Is that fair?
Right. It's not a premonition. It's just processing daily informations.
Both of us have had things that happen in life, either in a revelatory or other miraculous right. way, that I have no... I can't even find a way to easily explain it. I can't find a way to admittedly, self-awaredly rationalize it. Like, I'm like, right. I don't even know where to put this in the map of events. But does that mean that it was God or Satan or a devil or a demon or a metaphysical force or a ghost? No, those are all prepackaged cultural conceptions
right.
for as answers to that question. To me, it is more intellectually responsible to simply leave the question unanswered. But yeah, no, so there's nothing revelatory about this.
And
I mean, I can see how people could feel that, right? It feels that way naturally. Right. Does that mean that it's divine intervention? Does it mean it's a ghost, God, spirit, demon?
Right. You know? Should we have a break? Because I probably want a cigarette and I need to like rearm.
Yeah, let's do a break and we'll come back, I think, on closing thoughts.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know.
For Jerry Springer.
Ah, for Jerry Springer. Rest in hell,
sir. Rest somewhere. Yeah, not easily, though. You fucking...
Yeah, suffer somewhere, sir.
He's going on my cunt list.
Okay, we'll come back. Fuck God.
Fuck God.
Live sinfully and live well.
Okay. You continue to listen to Perpetual Sin Podcast. Here we are in our final stretch of our episode. Truth be told, Josh and I just went out and had a few drinks.
We did as we had, we're prophesizing, but train conditions had told us to, we have to go now.
Yeah. No, all that worked out, and we got up to some pretty interesting shenanigans in the affluent suburb where we do not exactly fit in. Is that a fair way of assessing it?
It's 100% accurate way of assessing us. I'm like way drunker than I was like an hour and a half ago.
That's okay. All right, so let's bring this episode in, shall we? So we shall can proceed we? To further debauchery at further
yes, bars. We're going to Lunar after this.
Yeah, yeah, we're walking to the next fucking place. And, okay, so at some point earlier this evening, we started on an episode that had something to do with divine intervention.
Okay, so we barely missed the train. We almost could have died.
Yeah, that's exactly true. We ran across the tracks.
Right, so our...
Whilst the train was... coming right at us.
Yeah. Right. We had about 14 seconds to make a reaction, and either one of us could have tripped on the train tracks.
Yes.
Divine intervention said...
So, shall we thank God? No. Shall we thank Satan? No. Shall we thank ourselves? Yes. Point is, we survived.
And we got on and off the metro for free.
In both directions, in fact.
Right. Because actually, the second train conductor was like, you're the Iron Maiden guy. I'm like, I am the Iron Maiden guy.
Two drunk motherfuckers coming back on the train right. from the affluent suburb next to this one. We could have been tagged on the train.
Right.
But instead the guy said, hey, you're the guitar player of that band.
Like, and I was just trying to like...
And it was cool and awesome. And we basically rode the train for free, these two drunk motherfuckers. I hereby declare we should get into the cunt list. Should we do this, Josh?
Yeah.
Let's tie this episode up. The purportedly divine intervention episode. So, Josh, what do you got?
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer?
Jerry Springer.
The Departed.
The Departed. I don't. What's he going to say to me right now?
Exactly. Nothing. Yeah.
That's cool. Go fuck yourself. Geraldo Rivera.
Wow. You're just walking down the list.
I'm like, y'all TV personnel are pieces of shit.
The only real cunt I have for this episode is God. Go figure. God, Jehovah, Yahweh, whatever the fuck you want to call him. Yeah. Fuck God. Yeah, that motherfucker. God's a fucking myth. So fuck that guy. insofar as he is purported as omnibenevolent, omnipotent, omnipresent. Yeah, no, fuck you. There's so much evil and wrong and fucking bullshit in the world. Fuck you. You don't exist. If you did, you would not allow this shit to exist.
If God so loved the world, I would not exist right now.
All right, Josh, on that note, I declare this episode is over. We did what we could with this cunt list. I say we end this episode.
On a high note, a medium note, or a low note?
On the best note of we wish all of our listeners to live sinfully and live well.
You're all fucking cool as fuck for still listening to this.
Yeah, thank you for putting up with our bullshit, but this has been an episode of Perpetual Sin on Divine Intervention, which, if you haven't figured it out already, we think it's a giant fucking
I divine intervene in my own fucking life, and yeah. I fucked a
instead really of waiting for divine intervention, please, folks, go out there, realize we are all human beings on the same planet. There's no supernatural force for good or ill in our behalf. We are human beings. Let's go out there and make our own world better. Intervene in your own life, in the life of your friends and family. Go be the change. Don't wait for God, Satan, a ghost, whatever.
You don't need a sign. You don't need fucking... If you want something, go fucking get it. If you don't want something, execute it from your life.
Yes, that's a great way to put it, sir. Yeah.
Be your best fucking person, and it'll come to you. And if it doesn't, go figure it out your fucking self. And if it still doesn't, be patient.
Wonderful. Well, Josh.
Jason.
Let's go drink. Meanwhile, live sinfully, live well. This has been Perpetual Sin Podcast. Fuck God. Hail Satan.
Hail fucking Latinos.